Okay, Ephesians 4 and verse 11. I'm going to jump past 11, 12. Do you know where 4:12 gets its name from? Ephesians 4:12. It says to equip the saints to do the works. That's you guys. To equip the saints. So it's not for the apostles and the prophets and the teachers and the pastors to do the work, but it is their responsibility to actually equip you guys to do the work. But at the same time as being equipped, you must be prepared to do the work, to actually participate in what God has called you to. Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Verse 16, from Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Folk, today, every one of us, from me to Ants, I'm not putting a hierarchy on, all of us are called to maturity. And all of us are working at maturity all the time. Like when I get dressed, I put my shirt on and it's a button-up shirt. My wife has to button the sleeves up because I can't do it. We all call to maturity. There is things that we can be working on all the time. If you think you've arrived, no, you haven't. There is still stuff that you need to be pushing on to. And I trust that I'll touch one or two of those things this morning that will say, yes, that's what I need to be doing. So maturity is associated with reaching a goal. There's something we're looking for. So all of us, we are looking for maturity as individuals, but also as a congregation, also as a church, also as a partnership of 4:12. We're looking for maturity. We're looking for unity. We're wanting to walk in everything that God has for us. So verse 13, where it said, until we reach unity of the faith, the goal is unity, knowledge of Jesus, and maturity. That's what we're going for. If you read that whole chapter, that's a mature manhood refers to spiritual adulthood. So you become an adult. You have to move on. You thank goodness you move on. I can ask Michelle and Nellis, thank goodness your children don't say small and tiny. It's good that they move on, eh? That they begin to grow, that they begin, their immune system begins to kick in, and they begin to operate in their own strength. I want to tell you, if you leave your child just laying on the ground, you're going to have a problem down the road. You've got to encourage, you've got to stimulate, you've got to help them to get to where God has got you. And the standard, our standard for maturity, isn't other people. It's the fullness of Christ. We don't look at others and say, oh, I'm more mature than them. No, we look at them and say, together we want to become the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ. We must be careful we don't get caught up in comparison with others. It'll hold you back. It'll stop you from maturing. It'll keep you in a place where you don't get to where God wants you to get to. Verse 14, where it speaks about tossed back and fro and the every wind of teaching and by the cunningness and craftiness of people. Spiritually immature Christians are vulnerable. If you are staying in that place of immaturity, you are opening yourself up to things that you don't want in your life. That's why God has put leaders in the congregations. He's put them there for your use, to go to them, to ask them, what do I need to do? Where are the places that need to change? And you know what the problem is? Most of us are scared because of the answers we may receive. But you know what? God has given you leaders. He's given you elders. He's given you deacons, given you comm leaders. And you know what? There are even leaders that don't have a function yet, but are walking in the fullness and moving towards maturity that you can speak to. It doesn't have to always be your leaders. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect, verse 15, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Growth. I was excited this morning when I walked in and I saw the talking and the excitement and the buzz that's happening, because growth happens in community. Growth happens in community where truth and love go hand in hand. We speak the truth, but we speak it in love to one another. We're like a sword. We're not like a baseball bat. That when we finish speaking to someone, even though there is something you've needed to address, that they walk away broken and discouraged. No, the sword of God divides between soul and spirit. The sword of God brings expectation of yourself. Yes, Lord, I can do this. I can do this. You're cutting this stuff free from me. And Hebrews, it speaks about sin that so easily entangles. God wants to cut that off your life. And then we carry on to verse 16. From the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Guys, there are many pictures in the scriptures about what the church is. There's the one of a building. There's one of a temple. But yeah, it's speaking of a body. And every one of us have a part. The other day I was sitting thinking of my senses, which is the one that I would struggle the most without? And maybe for each one of you it's different, but for me it would be my eyes. If I couldn't read, and spiritually, if I couldn't see, I would be in trouble. Hearing, I wear hearing aids when I'm not in church. It's too blah, 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 blah. I can't hear what's going on. But when I'm outside of church, I wear them, and so there's something that I could put in its place. With eyes, you can say glasses, but if you are blind, can you imagine trying to read the word? Can you imagine trying to see somebody's face that you've never met before? Those are the things that would break my heart. And so every believer is a part. We heard about the heart this morning and a plaque in the heart. For me, that's close to home because I had a triple bypass. One of the problems being, cholesterol and plaque. Plaque's the thing that clogs up. When you get too much sugar in your veins, it actually collapses your veins. And that's what happened to me. And so then they have to bypass the original vein that is there. So every part, so that shows that the vein in my heart is important. When I went to the endocrinologist, he said to me, your heart is strong, but your veins are terrible. If you don't look after your veins, you will die. And I sat there like, this is the first time I sat with him. I'm like, you nice. I really want to stay here all day. When each part is healthy and active, the whole body grows in love. You know what? When you're doing your part, the body is healthy. When you're the heart and you're pumping and you're strong, you're doing your part. When you're the kidneys and you're filtering the everything that needs to be filtered, you're doing your part. Let me tell you, the other thing is if you chopped a toe off and threw it in the corner, you could probably still operate, but it wouldn't look great with the toe over there. I like my toe. I like my ears too. I'm not going there. My wife hasn't got one ear. Ask her afterwards if you can see it. So spiritual growth means becoming doctrinally stable. We need to look into theology. I know that JJ, once we had lunch with him, And he said to me, he likes to use Wesbury's commentaries. I do as well. I've got the whole set. He's really accurate. He's good. I enjoy his stuff. But if you haven't got the resources, go to those that are your leaders. And if they don't know, they'll find out for you. That's how I believe it should happen. Don't always go to chat. Yeah. We were in the Karoo National Park for our wedding anniversary. And we were sitting and we were looking at a lion. We could see it from here. And so Patty said to Chet, are there lions in the Karoo National Park? It said, no, there are no lions. So then she said, but I can see a lion. It said, yeah, I missed that. They were reintroduced in 2010. So be careful of Chet. Be careful, especially when it comes to doctrine. Serving others, spiritual growth means serving others with your gift. You see, that's a gift there. She was looking after the baby. Living out truth in love, moving towards maturity means becoming more and more like Jesus. When you see the picture of Jesus that you see, that's what you should be aiming for. As you're sitting there, what are you seeing? If you look towards Jesus, I see someone that's loving, someone that's kind, but I also see somebody that will bring discipline where there is sin. So we need to see the full picture of what Jesus looks like. This works with children, for all those that have just had babies. Maturity will result in involvement without imposition. So you will grow without me putting my stuff on you. You will grow as long as you are determined to grow. I don't know about you. I've got grandchildren now. I didn't do this so much with my own children. I'm still busy doing it with my grandchildren. Before they go to bed at night, have you brushed your hair? Have you brushed your teeth? And I give them this list that they go through. Most of them are little girls. I've got seven grandchildren, and I think three of them are boys. It's not big odds, eh? Three and four. But the problem is, as they grow older, if you continue to tell them those things, they're not going to grow. They're not going to mature. I know my three boys. I'm a little bit of a neat freak. I like things in their place and where they should be. My three boys, I don't know why, it must have been their mom. But they grew up. If you opened their door, something jumped out and grabbed you and pulled you back in there. I would just walk past and close their door because it would make all sorts of things want to happen inside of me. It was horrendous what was going on inside there. And so I got to the place, I'm not fighting with you what's in your room anymore. I'm closing the door. And you take care of what's inside there. And it's like that with our lives. The word says they devoted themselves. Who's they? It's all of us. Devoted, pushed in, went for God. Themselves, not the leaders. You, yourselves, themselves. We need to be those. You know what the problem is? Without maturity, we either become legalistic or we become licentious. We always hit between those two if we don't start to mature. If we have to be told what to do all the time, we become legalistic. And that is something that you need to watch for in other people and in your own self. And the thing is, don't put legalism on people. You must do that. You mustn't do that. You can't do that. You can do that at 10 o'clock, but at 10:05, you can't do that anymore. Tell them this is what we need. And then let them make mistakes. Let them make mistakes. And then discipline them. If they don't mature or we allow choices too soon, I've seen this as well. We become licentious. We just do as we like. We do anything. We've had no boundary lines in our life. The word says that our boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. God has set out our boundary lines for us, and we need to stay within them. Maturity will bring freedom, because the freedom comes as we make ourselves accountable, as we speak into one another's lives. Guys, and I say this everywhere I go, every time. Accountability isn't the elders chasing after you to find out what happened during the meeting, what's happening during the week, them deacons running after you. Accountability is you pick up the phone and you say, I'm sorry I wasn't there today, so-and-so. Or whatever it takes. I've been doing this, but I need help with that. You come to the person that you're accountable to. You come to them. They don't have to chase after you. It's not checking up, but it's helping. So many people think, oh, you're checking up on me. I'm so glad I don't lead a congregation anymore. There's only 6 lead elders that I have to check up on, and I generally don't. They will come to me and say, hey, listen, what about this? What about that? You guys need to pray for your lead elder. For me, it's probably the most difficult job in the church, in Josh Jen. They are the ones that are like taking the compression and pushing out. They absorbing from those that they are leading and for those that are leading them. They are the buffer zone, the suspension of the vehicle. Pray for them. Pray for your elders. Pray for your deacons. Pray for them, guys. It shows maturity when we're able to pray for others that they can move into everything that God has for them. Leaders have been given the responsibility of overseeing your lives. They're going to give an account one day when they stand before God. They're going to stand there and say, Jacques. God's going to say to them, what did you do with Jacques? Oh, no, we let him walk around and dust the ceiling with his head. Oh, sorry, I haven't got dust. I haven't got feather. Jacques knows I can tease him, so it's okay. I'll pick on those that I can. This is very important. You ask someone, oh, you're a Christian. They say to you, yes, I was born an Anglican. Really? You're born an Anglican? You're born a Catholic? You're born a Josh Jenner? You are not born any of those. You are born again into those. Spiritual growth is not measured by time. You might be in church for 20 years and you're still a baby. You can't walk. You're crawling around. You might be in church for 2 years and you're up and you're walking. I saw with all 3 of my boys, their markers, all came at different times. One of them came walking before a year. The other one came at about 14 months. And then my youngest guy, he was like over 18 months before he walked. We must not measure things by time. Oh, you've been in the church a long time. Yeah, but you've done nothing. You've given nothing. You know what the problem is? So many of us come to church to receive, but we don't come to give. When you come on a Sunday morning, why don't you have a prophetic word for someone that you've been praying for? Hey, Lord, that Corinne, she's been such a blessing in my life. Is there something you want to say to her? Bring a word. Come on. It's not about receiving all the time. It's about giving as well. And sadly, those people demonstrate very little growth in their life, spiritually. They've not grown in any of their spiritual disciplines. Guys, you need to be growing in your prayer life. You need to be growing in your prayer life. We cannot walk with God. We cannot come to maturity without prayer. We need to live out God's word in our lives. Otherwise, we become like the Pharisees. They knew the word, but they didn't live it out. They were like, in Matthew 7 and verse 24, it speaks about the house that was built on the rock, and the house that was built on the sand. And at the end of that, it says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Talking about the one on the sand. And it fell down with a great crash. It's not what you know, but how we live and what your foundation is. It's how you live. I was on another man's team, and one of his favorite expressions was, your lips and your lifestyle, L&L. Your lips and your lifestyle. You will either make it or break it by your lips and your lifestyle. Let's be those. Let's be those that have got a lifestyle that reflects Jesus. A lifestyle that people see and they say, I want that for myself. Spiritual growth is not about gifting. It's about character. It's not about gifting. It's about character. Gifting is about what is given to you for others. Spoken about that. Character. So if you get a prophecy, it's not for you. It's for someone else. If prophecy is not delivered, it's not a prophecy. Character is what you grow in your life. Fruit. You push out those little flowers which become fruits, and people are able to come and taste and see that they are good. Spiritual growth has nothing to do with temporal success. I think Rudy touched on that today. We're talking about the fact that bodybuilding is not as great as what you should achieve in the kingdom of God. Money and cars and the size of the church and the level of influence one may have, material goods and prosperity, they are not indicators of maturity. They are not. I've seen such poor people, but such mature people walking with God. Got to do my illustration now. Okay, bud. I saw this illustration with a guy called Chris Vinant, and it illustrated maturity to me that I never, ever forgot it. And it was very simple. Is infancy. You're a baby. What do babies do? Ask Michelle and Nellis. I'm hungry. Change my nappy. I haven't slept enough. And everyone's running and they're trying to help. Check the nappy, check the stomach, check the everything. That's an infant. This is what they look like. That's an infant. Feed me, change me. If you find yourself doing that, you need to know that you're not where God wants you to stop. Then we get the adolescent. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. We live to benefit ourselves and to benefit someone else. What do I mean by that? Corinne asked me for a meal, so then I invite her back into my house. No, we got to step outside of that adolescent stage. We have to get to the place where we no longer live for ourselves. We begin to live for others. We find ourselves more and more, instead of, it looks quite cool like this. As an adult, we live to benefit others. There's nothing looking in. Let me tell you, you should not be able to look in if you're an elder. You've just got too much to be giving out all the time. You live to benefit others. So this one, we're infants and we're crying and we want everything. Come and feed me. Give me the bottle. Give me whatever I need. Change my nappy. But you know what the problem is? Is if we go to our matric dance, and before we leave the house, we have to ask our mom to change our nappy. We cannot get stuck we cannot get stuck in infancy. We can't get stuck in adolescence, that place of, I'll do something for you if you will do something for me. I trust you sitting here and thinking, hey, that where I've done that, I'm going to change that. I'm going to ask somebody that I've never asked before. Or I'm going to live for others. I'm going to get out in the nations. I'm going to save money. And Rudy and who went, Andre went across to Netherlands last year. They paid out of their own pocket. Why did they go? They went to the nations to see God do something there. Guys, that needs to be our vision. When we go out of those doors, we need to be living for others. We need to be speaking to others. So what is spiritual maturity? I'm just going to give you the characteristics of a mature Christian. First one, enthusiastic. Guys, if I can encourage you here, the one thing I noticed was that you weren't standing on your chairs and jumping around during worship. I want to encourage you guys. When the elder says, hey, I'm inviting you to the front, come and join us. Yes, I know it's small, but you can queue up in the aisles. Be enthusiastic. You know, we've got this thing about as we mature, we mellow. No. As we mature, we get more enthusiastic. We're eager to help. We're eager to love others. God is exciting. If your God is exciting, then that's the God I serve. Who watched the Springboks yesterday? Stand up. Who watched the Proteas yesterday? Stand up. Who woke up at 4 o'clock and watched DDP? He got beaten. He is no longer the world champion. He got beaten. The other guy beat him. So we still got to be enthusiastic. You know what? When I'd planted and I was like 3 or 4 years into the plant, if that happened on a weekend that I was preaching, I was pretty down. Eh? I was pretty bummed. Like, oh, I don't think I feel like preaching today. No! What is that stuff? Let's get up and go. I'd go to a wedding. I'd take my phone with me so I could watch the game. I'd go outside. Or I'd say, I can't come to the wedding. But they'd say, but you're doing the wedding. I said, no, I've got rugby to watch. Glug, glug, glug. Enthusiastic. They devoted themselves. We've spoken about. We need to be, if you go and read in there, it speaks about they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. We need to be a caring people. People that love people. Don't love your dog more than people. I see that. They get the D and the G the other way around. Instead of God, they get dog. Guys, don't love your dog more than God. Strengthening the weak, binding up the sick, seeking and bringing back. Luke 19:10, seek and save the lost. Treating others gently and not harshly. Placing other needs above our own. Husbands, the need on the, what's that date? On Bloom? 13th of September. You make every effort to make sure that you, your wife can go to that. If you have to cancel your ice cream this next month to save the money to be able to go so you don't buy ice cream, you spend it tomorrow. If you have to have black coffee, some guys like that, but you sacrifice to make sure your wife is there. If your wife doesn't go because of you, that is a poor show. Guys, it's a poor show. It's not mature. Kingdom-minded. Truth before tradition. Consistency before comfort. I'm just shooting through them now. Flexible and teachable. We ought to be conformed into the image of God. We all know the scripture in Romans 12, 2, where it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the only way you can be transformed, by renewing your mind. It's a process, and it doesn't change overnight. Faithfulness, 1 Timothy 3, 2, and Titus 1, 6, it speaks of a man having one wife. That means, speaks of faithfulness. We need to be faithful people if we are to be mature. Perseverance, James 1, 4 says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Maturing perseveres because it's committed. Then my last, I'm actually preparing a preach on this, but I'm going to just finish off with this. But solid food, Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature, who by consistent use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. I want to say to you this morning, are you able to distinguish good from evil? Can the guy that knocks at your front door, does he really need help, or is he there to rip you off? Are you able to distinguish good from evil? Are you? This morning, if you're sitting here, have you been able to distinguish it, the fact that Jesus is good, but the world is evil? Are you able to distinguish good from evil? Are you, guys? Are you, can you get ripped off? The internet and buying things on the internet. We've only done that once, me and my wife, and we got ripped off. Fortunately, it was only 150 rand. She wanted to buy a mop, and I said, I'll buy a mop, babes. You use it, you buy it. And we got no mop, and we paid for it. So are you able to distinguish good from evil? My wife wasn't able to do that. I wonder if you could just bow your heads, guys. So for me, the primary thought this morning is, A, are you mature that you're able to distinguish good from evil? Do you believe that if somebody comes to you and they put forward a proposal that sounds good, but it's actually evil, you will be able to distinguish? Think carefully now, because the obvious ones we can catch, it's the subtle ones that catch us. And so maybe you're sitting here this morning, even something that's not good, is you say that Jesus Christ saved me. Jesus Christ is my Savior. But you are not saying Jesus Christ is my Lord. Lord means that He rules and reigns in you and through you. You are a subject of the kingdom and the King. So maybe you're sitting like that here today and you're thinking, hey Lord, my walk is not where it should be. Yes, I've given my life to you, but my maturity is not what it should have been because I've been lacking in things in my life. I haven't had the prayer life I should have. I haven't had the discipline in your word that I should have. I haven't spent time in the presence of your Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, you can't discern anything without the Holy Spirit. So if you're here today and you're in that place, I wonder if you'd stick your hand up. I'd love to pray with you.